This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your signal to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, July 27th. ARRL Hudson Division Director and Ad Hoc Legislative Advocacy Committee Chair Mike Lysenko, N2YBB, says removal of Amateur Radio Parity Act language from the National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, conference report this week was unfortunate, but does not kill the initiative. The Parity Act would ask the FCC to grant radio amateurs living in deed-restricted communities the right to install effective outdoor antennas. Lysenko said today that while the language was removed from the final NDAA conference report, other viable options remain to see the Parity Act succeed. Lysenko said, quote, "We were disappointed the parity language didn't survive the conference process, but we do have other House-passed legislative vehicles that contain the language, including the Financial Services and General Government Appropriations Bill, which funds the FCC. It's not unusual for legislation to stall in Congress. To remove the logjam, we need our elected representatives in both chambers to know how much of a priority this bill is for our avocation. The continued active support of ARRL members is critical in order to do that," unquote. ARRL General Counsel Chris Imlay said the House-passed version of the NDAA included the Parity Act language, but the Senate bill did not, and a House-Senate conference committee had to resolve a variety of differences in the two passed bills. He said the Senate Armed Services Committee ranking member was one of the big four who would have agreed to help keep the Parity Act in the final NDAA conference report, but unfortunately, he deferred to Nelson on the matter. Without Senator Nelson's inexplicable opposition to our bill, it would have passed Congress long ago. Lysenko said it was important to keep the legislative efforts in context. Quote, "A decade ago, our bill was introduced every 2 years and gathering less than 24 co-sponsors before being forgotten and tossed in the heap. Since we've created the Ad Hoc Legislative Advocacy Committee, we have seen the bill pass the House of Representatives 4 times in less than 2 years and came within a hair of the president's desk. Momentum is clearly on our side and the wind is at our backs. We need our membership's active engagement to provide that final push to propel the Parity Act across the finish line," unquote. Operators on the upcoming VP-6D Ducey Island de-expedition, set for October 20th through November 3rd, are planning to use FT-8 as part of its mode mix on Ducey. However, a large percentage of the callers weren't prepared for the challenges of this new mode. The team is asking everyone to please read the FT-8 de-expedition mode user guide. Callers will also need to use the most recent software version, correctly configure their equipment, call VP-6D above 1,000 Hz, and call in the correct sequence. The VP-6D de-expedition intends to use Twitter and Facebook to update the DX community on its progress through regular updates. 7 operating positions are planned for 160 through 10 meters, SSB, CW, digital. While on Ducey Island, de-expedition team members will undertake some non-radio related activities. They will collect soil and plant specimens for study by the National Antarctic Scientific Center of Ukraine to use in their climate change research. An uninhabited atoll, Ducey Island is a British overseas territory in the Pitcairn Islands in the South Pacific. The last Ducey Island de-expedition was VP-6DX in 2008. Ducey is currently the 21st most wanted DXCC entity, according to Clublog. Marking its 21st anniversary this year, the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend in August will celebrate amateur radio operation at several lighthouses that will make debut appearances in this year's event. So far, 300 groups or individuals have registered to indicate plans to participate from a lighthouse or lightship during the 2-day operating activity. Newcomers joining the list of perennials include the Ashdod and Mount Carmel lighthouses in Israel, Shavla Lighthouse in Bulgaria, Porthcawl Breakwater in Wales, and Tanjung Datu in Malaysia. Additional newcomers are in Mexico and Cuba. ILLW is always held on the third full weekend in August. This year, it will get underway at 1 UTC on August 18th and continue until 2400 on August 19, 48 hours in all. Registration is not required for participation, but it does let other stations know which lighthouses and lightships will be activated. Sponsors stress that the event is not a contest. There are no prizes, certificates, or other enticements to participate. Each station's operators decide how they will operate their station with respect to bands and modes, and participating stations do not have to be on the air for the entire weekend. Activity does not need to take place inside the structure itself. A field day style setup at the lighthouse or other building adjacent to the light is sufficient. The nation of Thailand is reported to be the country with the world's third largest population of radio amateurs, a total of 101,763,000 as of last February, or slightly fewer than California's 106,000 amateur radio licensees. The Thai ham radio count represents a drop from a reported high of 247,676,000 hams in May 2012. Only the U.S. and Japan outrank Thailand in terms of the number of radio amateurs. Thailand has a population of about 68 million, and the vast majority of the current Thai ham population are novice operators, which have privileges on 10 and 2 meters. Intermediate and advanced licensees make up the remainder. Both of those classes may operate on all bands authorized in Thailand, the only distinction being authorized power. Only in the past 2 years have individuals been able to take the exam for the intermediate and advanced licenses. All statistics are included in a report to the International Amateur Radio Union Region 3 Conference this September in South Korea. Bologna, Italy, the region of Italy that is home to the birthplace of wireless pioneer Guglielmo Marconi, will host the next World Radio Sport Team Championship, WRTC 2022. The official announcement that the Italian host committee's proposal had been selected came from WRTC Sanctioning Committee Chairman Tyne Brochnik, S50A, at the close of WRTC 2018 in Germany. Orbin Labs, headquartered in Pennsauken, New Jersey, has donated a state-of-the-art audio processor, the all-digital 9300 Optimod AM, to ARRL. Orbin Labs Vice President of Business Development, Mike Pappas, W9CN, arranged for the donation with the intention of improving the audio quality transmitted by W1AW during its evening phone bulletins. The 9300 Optimod AM is used worldwide at broadcast stations. W1AW wants your opinion on its new sound. Listen for W1AW's phone bulletin, 145 UTC, on 1.855, 3.990, 14.290, 18.160, 21.390, 28.590, and 50.350 MHz SSB, as well as on 7.290 MHz full carrier double sideband AM, and on 147.555 MHz FM simplex. Send brief signal reports to W1AW at w1aw@arrl.org.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
There was a little bit of a snafu this year with the ballots for the AMSAT Board of Directors. If you received yours, you probably saw the instructions as to how many to vote for was not clear. AMSAT was notified by a member of this error and is sending out corrected ballots. Only the new ballots of a different color will be accepted. Do not send in your old ballot thinking you voted. Wait for the new one and vote with it. AMSAT apologizes for the error. Longtime AMSAT member and past AMSAT president Bill Tynan, W3XO, who has been the Oscar number administrator, has stepped down from that position. A new administrator will soon be appointed. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WBHIMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, July 27th. How many spots are visible on the sun today? Well, If you guess zero, you're right. With a lack of sunspot activity, the solar flux index has dipped down to 67. As usual, this means that your best bands will be 160 through 20 meters. Last Wednesday, Earth moved into a fast-moving stream of solar particles with the resulting geomagnetic disturbances we all expect, but we should be making our exit by about the time you hear this. On VHF and UHF, all the stormy weather marching across the eastern United States has triggered a fair amount of tropospheric ducting on 2 meters and up. Activity appears to be concentrated in the central U.S. and also along the mid-Atlantic coast.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.